Good morning. Don't you just love a really comfy couch? Like, come on, right? Like, don't you just love if you've had a long day, whether you're coming home from school or work or whatever it is, or maybe you're a stay-at-home mom who, by the way, probably work harder than all of us, and you're tired at the end of the day and the kids are in bed and you just sink down into that couch and it's just so comfortable, right? And it's so comfortable, in fact, that once you sit down, you think to yourself, I don't know if I'll ever get up. This couch is so comfortable. And you know you have things to do and probably things you should be doing instead, but it's so comfortable being on that couch. And in a way, the church should be a little bit like that. It should be this place where you feel comfortable, where you feel accepted, where you feel loved, where you feel poured into, and you feel equipped, and it's just this place that you're like, this feels like family, this feels like home, this is comfortable. And that's a good thing. But the thing is sometimes we can get too comfortable on that couch in the church. And we actually fear getting off the couch and going out. And so this 7-week series that we're about to launch into called Missional Community, it's all about that tension of being a community, a place where people feel comfortable, they belong, they're part of a family, but also being missional because we recognize that God has a mission. And he's actually called each and every one of us who would say that we follow Jesus to actually get up off the couch and actually go out and join God in the mission that he has. And so this morning as we launch in this series, we're going to start in John chapter 20. And I welcome you to turn there if you brought your Bible with you, or if you want to look it up on your phone, it'll also be on the screen behind me. If you don't have a Bible and you'd really love to have a Bible, talk to the kiosk or one of the ushers. We'd love to get you one. But we're going to talk this morning, and we're going to have a teaching from John chapter 20, and we're going to start in verse 19. And just to give you a little bit of context, what's happened here is Jesus he's died and he's just recently rose again. And his disciples, as we're going to see in the passage, are sitting in a locked room because they're afraid that the same people, the same religious leaders that had Jesus killed, are going to come for them next. And so they're afraid, so they're sitting in a locked room. And this is what the passage says. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came among them, stood among them, and said, peace be with you. Now, there's probably a few reasons why he had to say peace be with you. One is, if I'm in a locked room and someone suddenly appears, it's going to freak me out a little bit, right? Oh, whoa, so who's this guy? Whoa, he's right here. Where'd you come from? I thought we locked the doors. Peter, did you forget to lock the door? Like, it's going to freak you out. Like, you're like, what is going on here? That's part of it. But as we'll see later on, he's also talking about giving them the peace of God, which we'll get into a little bit later. But what I want you to notice is that the disciples are afraid. They're sitting there with the doors locked, and they are fearful. And I think sometimes we look at our culture and we see that the culture doesn't always have the same values as us, and that sometimes the media has a negative view of Christians and the church, and we're not sure what our friends would think if we were to mention Jesus or we were to share with them the message of what Jesus has done for us. We're not sure what they'd think if they found out that we go to church or that we'd claim to be a Christian. We're not sure what they think. We're a little bit fearful of that, and we're kind of like these disciples who are in this room with the door locked, and we're afraid to go out. But Jesus enters the scene, and he says, peace be with you. And the peace that Jesus is talking about isn't just the kind of peace where you're like, ah, That's part of it. But the peace that Jesus is actually talking about is a word in the Hebrew that is shalom. And what shalom means is to be in this perfect relationship with both God and others. See, Jesus offers this kind of peace that only he can offer. And it says, after this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed. See, one of the biggest barriers to effective mission is really fear. We're afraid. We're afraid to go out. We're afraid of what people will think. We're afraid if that person will really still be my friend after if I were to share what I believe with them. We're fearful. And so we've made faith sometimes this very private thing that we don't share with others. One of the biggest barriers, I really believe this, to effective mission is fear. But along with that, the peace of Jesus is actually greater than our fear and can help us overcome our fear. Fear isn't something that I think we easily, fear of this isn't something we easily overcome. We need the peace of Jesus in our lives. I want to tell you a story. This story, it's still vivid. I can still, when I think about this, remember it as if it was yesterday, even though it was back when I was in high school, which, whether you know this or not, was a little while ago. This year is actually the first year in youth ministry where the kids that will be coming to youth ministry were not alive when I graduated high school. Yeah, that's when you know that you're getting old in youth ministry. but back in high school, I remember this time, and I was sitting waiting for the bus, and I saw this other student there, and I just felt the Spirit say, you need to go talk to that person. They're sitting all by yourself. You need to go talk to them. You need to share my love with them. But I was afraid, so I didn't do it. I chickened out. I waited awkwardly by myself, internally having this dialogue with the Spirit. No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not. Leave me alone. You know? I got on the bus, and I went home. But I couldn't shake that. And I just got home and I said, like, if I really, really, truly believe this, why am I so afraid? Why am I so afraid? Why could I just have gone up and engaged him in a conversation and shared the love of God with him? Why was I so afraid? And so I said, I don't want to be afraid anymore, God. I don't want to be afraid anymore. I want to see people in my school come to know you. And by the grace of God, I was able to see some of my friends come and accept the Lord and to be a part of the youth ministry at my church. And that was really amazing. But if I'm really honest with you guys, there's still moments where, not that long ago, I remember a moment where I felt like I needed to share with someone. And I still got those little nervous butterflies in my stomach. Like, oh, are you sure about this, God? Okay, I'll do it. And I did it, but I was still afraid, and so I get it. I'm not some super Christian. I admit, I still get afraid when I have to share, when I feel the Spirit leading me to share with someone. But the thing is, if we know more of the story about these disciples, and if we read on in the passage, Jesus again tells them, peace be with you. And he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, a couple things I want us to recognize. Number one is that God sent Jesus with a purpose. He sent him to come and live among us, to die and to rise again, conquering death, so that we could have this opportunity to have a right relationship with God. Even though we had rebelled, even though we had made poor choices, Jesus did this for us. And that was his mission, so that all people could enter into this eternal relationship with God. That's why God sent Jesus, the Son. But Jesus says, just as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you to proclaim this. I'm sending you to live out the mission of God. That was Jesus' plan, that more people would come into this relationship with him, was to send his disciples. But he doesn't send them alone. He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if we were to find out the rest of the story, if we were to read on in the Bible and we'd go through Acts, we'd find that these same people who were fearful, locked in a room, suddenly become alive. And they suddenly start preaching and telling people about Jesus, anyone who would listen. And the religious leaders get so angry at them and say, you guys got to stop this. You got to stop telling people about Jesus, or we're going to beat you, we're going to throw you in prison, we're going to kill you. And they say, who are we supposed to pay? You are God. We're going to keep doing it. And there's even an example where they're preaching about Jesus, they're whipped, they're beaten, they're thrown into jail, and they're singing worship songs to God. That's crazy. That's a crazy transformation. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit. They're the same guys that were afraid, and they end up saving the jail guard in that story. I mean, how crazy is that? The same people, the same fearful people. What's the difference? They've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. See, God is a missional God, and he calls us to join him in his mission, but he doesn't leave us alone to do it on our own power, to do it on our own strength. And I'm so thankful for this, because I know I would fail time and time again without the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I do still sometimes fail. But the Holy Spirit empowers us, and he emboldens us for mission. By the power of the Spirit, we're actually able to then overcome that fear and say, you know what? Other people need to know about this. I mean, if the gospel has truly transformed our lives, and if we've really seen the great love that God has for us, like, don't we want to share that with people? Like, don't we? And I know that we're fearful, but I think the first place we need to start is we need to become a people of prayer that ask the Holy Spirit to empower us to live out this mission that God has called each and every one of us to. It's often joked that it's not the great omission, it's the great commission. But sometimes it's a little bit like that. We feel like it's multiple choice, like, oh, I don't really have to do that, do I? But I just want to encourage you. I don't want to guilt you into this. I just want to encourage you that you can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can. And for those of you that have come here for a while, or if you're new, not that long ago, Mark Wessner, our lead pastor, left. And sometimes when a lead pastor leaves, what churches can often do is they say, let's circle the wagons, let's be safe, let's just maintain things and just wait for that new lead pastor to come. Let's just do that. Let's just wait, as if somehow the lead pastor is Jesus himself and we, the church, can't continue without a lead pastor. Like, he's not Jesus. Mark said that all the time, that Jesus is the leader of the church. And so the staff was recently meeting together, and we said, like, what is the vision for this year? What do we see God is leading us to this year, from September to August? What do we see God doing in this church? Like, and as we did that, we just felt like the Holy Spirit was really laying on our hearts that for this year, we needed to set what are called faith goals. Now, faith goals are not something that can easily be accomplished with fancy schemes and programs. Faith goals are something that if the Holy Spirit doesn't move, they don't happen. We need God to empower us by the Holy Spirit for them to actually come to happen. And so one of the things that we said that we felt God was leading us to believe in God for faith and to start praying towards is that this year we would see 100 people choose to follow Jesus through the ministries of Westwood Church and through the people of Westwood Church, all of you. That we'd see 100 people this year choose to follow Jesus, say yes to being in that eternal relationship with Christ. 100 people. And so some of you may think, wow, 100 people, that seems like a lot. 100 people. I want to tell you a story. Not that long ago, MB Mission and some other people who from the that represent the MB denomination, which this church is a part of, they went to Ethiopia. And in Ethiopia, the church has been growing a lot. And they asked the Ethiopian leaders, like, what's your goal? What's your dream? What's your vision for the future? And they said, well, right now we have 1 million Ethiopian members of MB churches. We have 1 million. And in 5 years, we want to have 2 million. And the leaders looked at them like, whoa, 2 million, that's a big goal. Like, you want to double from 1 million to 2 million. What's your plan? Like, what's your brilliant strategy? And they said the Ethiopian leader looked at them like they were dumb, like stupid. Like, what is wrong with you? It's obvious, duh. We're going to encourage each one of the people who are already part of this church over the course of these 5 years to try to lead at least one person to Christ. And if we do that, then we'll have 2 million people. Like, it's not that complicated. Like, sometimes we overcomplicate things and we come up with all these brilliant master plans. And if we do this and if we do that. But really, if we all just committed to being intentional about living out the gospel and sharing it with people as we have opportunity, 100 is actually very doable. It can happen. If God is on the move and we join him in his mission and we are faithful, we can see it happen. And so we're believing and trusting that 100 people will choose to follow Jesus through the people and the ministries of Westwood Church. Second thing is, we're trusting and believing God for 150 baptisms this year. Some of you will remember not that long ago, a few Easters back, the baptism tank, we had lots of people go through there. We had 45 people in 2 Sundays, and we're like, wow, that's amazing. This is absolutely fantastic that God is moving in this way. I want to say, wouldn't it be amazing if that wasn't an amazing Sunday, if that became more regular? Like, people regularly being baptized? And really, all baptism is it's saying, yes, Jesus, I'm 100% all in. I will declare that I will follow you, and I'm not ashamed to say it. If you've already accepted Jesus, it's a simple step of obedience that says, yeah, God, I'm all in. I'm ready to follow you with all my heart and mind and soul and strength. I'm ready to follow you, Jesus. That's what it is. And so maybe God is calling you this year to be one of those 150 or more that get baptized. That'd be amazing. And so that's what we're saying. And they're faith goals, and we can't accomplish them on our own. We need God and through his Holy Spirit to be on the move to do them. And so one of the things that we're calling you guys to do is actually pray. Because I know some of you are thinking, okay, great, what's the practical plan for this? What can I do? And if some of you are thinking of this, there's 5 things I'm going to suggest. Number 1 is pray. No missional movement has ever succeeded without a serious commitment to prayer. It just doesn't. If you study history and you see when God has really been on the move in a community, in a nation, it's because there was a significant prayer movement. And so one of the things I'm calling you to is, would you pray about these faith goals? Would you pray that God would be on the move and would accomplish them through our church? And we meet every morning at 8:15 for prayer, just over here in one of these rooms. I'd love for that room to be too full, and we need to find another room because there's just so many of you that are coming and praying. And so I challenge you to do that. But I also challenge you to do it in your homes, maybe on your comfy couch, you know, as you're driving to work, whenever. Like, just commit to praying for this. Have gospel conversations with people. Look for opportunities to genuinely care about people, engage them in meaningful conversation, and look for those opportunities where you can share what God has done in your own life and who God is. Look for those opportunities. You can invite people to come on a Sunday morning or with you to life group or whatever you're feeling led to do. Be generous, and I'm thankful that this is a generous church. You give to the church, and that's great, but that's not really what I mean here. I mean, be generous in ways that blow people's mind in the community. I have a friend, and he was recently telling me a story about how, like, he just felt compelled to give someone $50. So he gave them $50, and they were just, like, overwhelmed because they had a significant need, and they're like, why would you do that? You're a complete stranger. And he said, well, I just want you to experience the love of God, so I felt like I was supposed to do this. Like, being radically generous. That's how the early church was. They were radically generous. They didn't consider anything they had to be their own, it says. Show hospitality. You're going to eat anyways. Why not sometimes have your neighbors or your friends or your coworkers over for a meal? Why not have each other over for a meal? And people be like, why are you guys always meeting together? Because we love each other. We care about each other. Show hospitality. These are simple ways. We're not asking you to commit to coming to a lot of extra events or doing a lot of extra things. I know we're all busy people. What we're asking you to do is making living out the gospel part of the regular rhythm of your life. Just make it part of what you do. If you're going to be doing this, do it with gospel intentionality. And if we do that, I think we're going to see God do amazing things this year. Right now, the worship team are going to come up, and we're going to sing a new song, and this new song is called You Make Me Brave. And I love the words, because it really is in line with what we're talking about today, that the Holy Spirit is the one who emboldens us and enables us to live out the way he's called us to live. And so as we go through the song, I just ask that you read the words and you sing it, and you sing the words, You Make Me Brave, as a prayer. Another one of the words says that you've made a way for all to enter in. God has done it. He's made this way for all people to enter in and be saved and to enter into his family. Let's sing this as a prayer that God would make us brave as a church to join God in the mission that he has for us. Let's sing and worship together.
I stand before.
My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would be at work and you would sense its presence in your life this week, and that he would empower you and inspire you to be on mission with God. I really want to encourage you guys to go out and check out the different booths that are representing the different ministries and interact with them. Have a great week. God bless, guys.